Hello, and welcome back to our American Queen podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about the lover era, an era that was cut short by many circumstances, but probably the number one circumstance would be the COVID pandemic. So we want to take a look at lover, what could have been with lover, what was the rollout, Taylor's public perception during the lover era, and how she used the era to show the general public her new image after Reputation. I think it really fits in with our podcast theme, and I'm really excited to look into it. So, Erin, how do you see the lover era in relation to Taylor's other eras that she's done? Like, do you think it's one of her best, one of her worst? Where does it fall for you?
It's sort of hard to say because, like you were talking about in the introduction, it did get cut short a little bit, and we never really got a tour for it, or not, we never really did, we never got a tour for
and
it.
And we never will.
And we did get a couple of performances, but not that many, so it's kind of hard to compare it because it wasn't as long as other ones, but I would say I liked how it started out. And I liked just the general aesthetics of it with all the pastel colors and very springy. But then it did kind of change like halfway through when she started wearing all the suits and everything like that, which I think was related to the man. But it was kind of weird how the aesthetic just changed.
Yeah, we'll definitely get into that.
But yeah, I think overall it was cute. I liked the aesthetics of it. I think it matched the album really well. And yeah.
So yeah, let's start out with why Taylor went into the lover era. And personally, from my point of view, I see the lover era as like in the Me music video when it's the snake going into the butterflies. Mm-hmm. She needed something happier, more upbeat for after Reputation, and also I think she really wanted to jump into politics,
mm-hmm.
be seen as having more of a happy presence, and really wanted to emphasize her long-term relationship because, you know, in the past she'd been characterized by all of her past relationships, and now she has a very long-term relationship, and she doesn't have to hear that criticism anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah. The first single, I think that's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about Me in the past. It's very, very contentious,
yes,
as a lead single. In my estimation, it seems as though Taylor was trying to target younger audiences and children and kind of bring them into her fan base, mm-hmm. because it's a very big misconception that Taylor's fan base is 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they're criticizing Taylor and her fans, like to be like, what do these 12-year-olds know about politics? What do these 12-year-olds know? And it's like, no, mm-hmm. all of her fans are like in their 20s and like mm-hmm. 30s. Not all of them, but you know,
yeah,
a big majority.
I remember at the time when Me first came out, I followed this one blogger on Instagram, and she has a young daughter. Like, at the time, she was probably like 3 or 4, and she would always post her daughter dancing to Me, and she was like talking about how her daughter is obsessed with the music video, and she just wanted to watch it all the time, so I do think that's true. I also think my sense is she was maybe trying to, like, recreate Shake It Off, almost.
Definitely.
With, like, the upbeat, positive message of Shake It Off. Like, you know, don't worry about the haters.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, just shake it off. And then with Me, like, just own who you are. Be confident in who you are. Because you'll never find another like you. And that kind of message was probably, I don't know, I think she was hoping it would resonate, like, Shake It Off and be something like that. Do we want to talk about how she announced it, though, with the mural and everything?
Yeah, so Taylor announced the single with a mural, and that kind of kicked off the era of her being obsessed with Easter eggs, because mm-hmm. she left it up to her fans to figure out that there was a new single coming by literally just a mural that had no connection to her whatsoever, but people figured it out.
Yeah, that was crazy. I still remember, because I think Lover maybe was the first. No, I guess Reputation. I don't know. I definitely was paying more attention to Taylor in general during the Lover era. And I guess I was sort of with Reputation too, but there wasn't really much to pay attention to. So, yeah, I remember that day when the mural was happening and people were speculating that it had something to do with Taylor. And we were like, what? How could it have something to do with her? Like, how do they even know it does? And then all of a sudden she showed up and it turned out that she was announcing her lead single of her new album.
Yep. And I remember, I think it was before the mural, people were, it got leaked maybe or something. People were like, wait, it's a collab with Panic at the Disco or like Brandon Urie or whatever. And then they're like, wait, it's called Me! Exclamation point. What the hell? Like,
yeah, it was weird. Let's see. She did announce the name of it right before it came out.
The mural had Me on it. Okay. That's when it was announced officially.
Yeah, I remember being kind of skeptical of the name. And then also, like, the like, fact what? That it had an exclamation point. I was like,
and a collab, too. I was like, wait, why?
Yeah. Another thing I find interesting about the Lover era is that it was very, very heavy on the promotion, I remember. Yeah. Like, she was constantly promoting stuff, like, very much, I guess I would say, like, a heavy-handed marketing strategy, which is sort of interesting in contrast to the album before, Reputation, how obviously there's next to no promotion for that. I wonder what her motivation was from going from just very bare bones promotion to like very, very over the top. Like,
yeah,
she
I think
was everywhere with it.
I think the reason for that would be that her peak by most fans and the general public and most people is 1989. So if that was her peak, Reputation fell off, not a lot, but a little bit from that. And I think this was her trying to reclaim her pop stardom, kind of, you know? And then she thought if she did a rollout kind of like 1989, she might be able to have more of a promotion for the era. But, yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll get into people saying that it was a flop, which it absolutely was not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Me comes out. It has very, very, very mixed reviews, most of them negative. It is seen as childish. Taylor's 30 now. She needs to be an adult. She needs to be mature, which is so annoying. Just like not, she can be whatever she wants to be. She could sell anything.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people see Me as a misstep in Taylor's career. And I kind of do too. I believe that Taylor thought it would hit a lot differently and set the tone for the era. And when it did not hit, the tone for the era was off.
Yeah.
That's what many believe.
Yeah, I definitely, like I said before, I would guess she probably thought it was going to be like a shake it off moment. Like she thought it was going to be that level.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
It would really be just like instant classic, like huge hit, which it wasn't. I mean, it was a pretty big hit, right? It
there's three the words
for a while.
There's three words that ruin the Lover era. It charts wise. Old Town Road.
Yeah.
Taylor got robbed of two number ones because of Old Town Road, because it was such a massive hit.
Yeah. So in terms of charting, I guess it did okay, but obviously nowhere near Shake It Off. And I do think that's probably what she thought would happen. But I think we both have said in the past that we thought Lover, the title track, might have been a good lead single.
Or I Think He Knows.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people think Cruel Summer, but I'm not so sure about that one.
I'm not either.
Obviously, it's an amazing song and should have been a single, but I'm
well,
not sure about
we'll get into that. It probably would have been.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So let's keep moving.
So, yeah, we kind of go through the motions of the Lover era, and then You Need to Calm Down comes along in June, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that song as well in the past, but there was a lot of criticism that came with that one as well, and it peaked at number two yet again because of Old Town Road. So Taylor did not get her number one. So I don't think we really need to go into that anymore because we've talked about that in the past.
Yeah, basically, would you say the overall criticisms that the song and the music video were, like, very heavy-handed?
Yeah, it was, like, accusations of queer baiting, accusations of her doing too little too late, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I personally, I liked the song at the time, but now I truly love it. I love listening to it, especially in the summer, because it reminds me of summer of 2019 when it came out, and I just really like it.
Yeah, and we did get into this song in more depth in a previous episode, but I remember when it first came out, I despised it. Just, like, not even anything. I just didn't like the way it sounded. I didn't like anything about it. I was like, ugh, this song sucks. But as time has gone on, it has grown on me a little bit, but I still find it kind of annoying how it, like, starts out with her own personal drama, for lack of a better word. And we did talk about that, like, I feel like the first part of the song could be cut out if she wanted it to be what I think she intended it to be. But we've already gotten into that, so we won't talk about that again. But, yeah, again, with that song, I think she thought it was going to go over differently than it did. I think she thought she was going to get a lot of praise, and, like, that didn't happen.
And I think that is just an overarching theme of this era and its rollout. It's Taylor's vision in her head versus what actually happened, kind of. And her planning for these big successes that didn't really pan out. Like, we'll reiterate this again and again. This album did incredibly well. It broke records. It was the number one selling album of 2019 by a solo artist, I believe. So, like, let's not say it was a flop, but anyway.
I do think the individual singles and, like, all these individual events, she planned for them to go differently than they did. But I think overall, the album probably performed the way she was expecting it to. But, like, the singles and the music videos.
And just, like, the, quote, moments that she wanted to create just didn't hit like she wanted them to. But, yeah, and then nothing else really happened that was that notable. We had, was the next single The Archer, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So then we had The Archer and then Lover, right?
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I remember my personal thoughts at the time. When Me first came out, I liked it. I really didn't have any issue with it. I thought it was a cute enough song, but I was a little, I don't know, I was like, I hope that the album's not like this because it's sort of, I don't know, just not what I want from a Taylor album, I guess. And then You Need to Calm Down, I already said that I hated that song when it first came out, and I kind of like it now, but it's definitely not one of my favorites. Then The Archer, which grew on me after the album came out, but I hated it at first. And then finally, when Lover came out, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, Taylor's still Taylor. This is very much a quintessential Taylor song. Like, we're good. I'm sure the album's going to be good now. But I definitely was questioning it with the first three singles.
Definitely. Yeah, and it's, like, it's strange because the first two singles are very upbeat and, like, about being yourself and having, you know, like, having fun and, like, being yourself. But then the next two are very different. Like, The Archer, I don't know how I feel about that as a promotional single, especially since it was track five, to, like, give it up that soon. I don't know. But
yeah, I remember I was just, I think I even remember the time I listened to it, like, the very first time, and I'm pretty sure my initial thoughts were I was just not, like, blown away by it. I just was sort of like, oh, this is kind of a mediocre, boring song, which I take back because I do like it now a lot more. It's one of those songs, I think, that you have to listen to a little bit more to start to get to you, to start getting used to it, but when it first came out, I definitely was underwhelmed.
And I think, like, when it came out in the height of summer, I would have liked a summer bop, kind of.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing about when Lover came out. It came out at, like, the end of summer, which was annoying.
Yeah, that the was kind of weird. But I think it came out, like, a couple days before I went back to college. Yeah. I was like, it's kind of a bummer.
So I would have liked, instead of the Archer, to have, like, maybe I Think He Knows or something like that to get me through to the album release.
Mm-hmm. Or Cruel Summer.
But anyway, in between when Me came out and when the album came out, something went down, and that was the selling of Taylor's masters,
mm-hmm.
which is another kind of, like, strike against the rollout of the album. I think, basically, from what I can see, it definitely affected Taylor's reputation, again, because mm-hmm. she was seen as being, like, annoying and petty, and, like, she should stop crying and just, like, deal with it and all that stuff. But then also, it was weird because it was supposed to be, like, a happy era, very upbeat, but then this happened, mm-hmm. so it kind of soured that whole mood.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what the original issue was, but
I think it happened in July.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard. I don't really remember that part of the Lover era, just, like, my recollection, but as far as how it affected the era, I would agree that it maybe, like, deflated some of the happiness that was supposed to be associated with it. And yeah, I mean, like you said, people were very critical of Taylor for saying that she feels like she should own the work that she made.
And she posted that screenshot of, like, Justin Bieber and Kanye or whatever, mm-hmm. and people are like, stop digging up all this stuff again.
Yeah, just things we've covered before, people saying she's petty and she doesn't get over things and she holds grudges, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I think now, especially with the re-recordings underway, would you say the public perception of the whole Masters issue has shifted in favor of Taylor?
100%. And I think it all has to do with Folklore.
Yeah.
I think her public perception has never been better, really. Mm-hmm. People are really respecting her for... They're kind of setting aside her personal life, which is nice, and just, mm-hmm. like, focusing on her music for once. But anyway, we'll get into that a little bit, but... let's get back to Lover. Taylor, throughout the summer, before Lover comes out, she's on Instagram a lot, doing mm-hmm. lives. She's posting a lot, announcing the singles, announcing the cover art, announcing the track list before the album comes out. Like, she has secret sessions mm-hmm. for this album.
Mm-hmm.
And then the album comes out in August.
Yeah.
Let me look up exactly what date it came out.
Wait, before, I want to guess. I feel like it was August 23rd or 26th. Those are my two guesses.
I think it's the 26th. That sounds familiar. Okay, so the album came out on August 23rd, 2019. And it was, I think it was pretty highly regarded.
Yeah, I don't think I was so much paying attention to that at the time. I just was sort of interested in Taylor's social media presence, obviously loved her music. I don't really remember how it was regarded at the time because I honestly didn't care. I just judged it for myself. I know that I really liked it when it first came out. I was very relieved, and I think Lover sort of helped relieve some of that worry that it might not be what I was hoping it would be. There were definitely some tracks that I was not a huge fan of and still am not a huge fan of to this day, but for the most part, I really liked the album and thought it was very upbeat and fun and very Taylor, in my opinion.
Yes. So the album comes out, so that's all we need to know, and it does very, very well. I believe it was the top-selling solo artist album worldwide in 2019, and it sold over a million copies.
Mm-hmm.
All the songs debuted on the Hot 100 on the album. From August to January, when Miss Americana comes out, does anything happen between that time, do we know? Not really, right? I know she was doing press, a lot of press in October, She did the NPR Tiny Desk.
Oh, yes.
She did an interview with Jimmy Fallon in October.
Mm-hmm. When did she do SNL? When was that?
That was October. Okay. And in October, she did a interview with Zane Lowe, too.
Ah.
And during all those appearances, she was seen wearing suits.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very interesting. I think for the Zane Lowe interview, she wore just, like, a very reputation, it literally looked like. It was, like, a black suit.
Mm-hmm.
The Tiny Desk concert is one of my favorite looks of the Lover era. I think it perfectly blends, like, the man aesthetic and also the Lover aesthetic. It was, like, that plaid suit with, like, the glittery mm-hmm. patches on it. It was so mm-hmm. cute. And then on Jimmy Fallon, she wore that, like, brown suit dress kind of thing. You would know it if you saw it. It was, like, gold kind of. It was, like, gold and brown.
Yeah.
And then on SNL, she wore, for Lover, she wore, like, that green outfit. And mm-hmm. then she wore, like, that huge blazer for False God when she performed that. Yeah. So I don't know why she was doing all that press in October, but okay.
Yeah, she was out there a lot, and that's kind of like what we were saying earlier, how there was definitely a ton of promotion for Lover.
Yeah, it was a very traditional album rollout, and she was also on a lot of magazine covers as well at the time. Yeah. And she did a lot of interviews in magazines. Also, I forgot to mention, it was around this time when she started hinting about Loverfest. I think it was in September she announced it. And she said, "The Lover album is open fields, sunsets, and summer. I want to perform it in a way that feels authentic. I want to go to some places I haven't been and play festivals. Where we didn't have festivals, we made some." And that was announced on September 17th, 2019. Yes, so that was the Loverfest announcement. And then she did all of that promo in October that we were just talking about. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about the aesthetic switch from the pastels and the tie-dye and all of that into the suits and more of, like, the serious look that she was doing.
Yeah, I would say two things about that. Maybe the first is simply seasonal, since Lover came out in the summer, and the lead up to Lover was like the height of summer. And as we already mentioned, it sort of came out at the tail end of summer, like late August. So maybe part of the change in aesthetic is just that it went from summer to fall to winter. But then the other thing, which I think is more so an influence on the change of fashion, would be the man era, which I feel like was kind of an era in and of itself. And also, I would say, like, the man / Miss Americana era, which, you know, the man is Taylor talking about if she were a man. So I guess it does kind of make sense that she would dress in more traditionally masculine clothes.
I think a lot of people also theorize that she did that because of the scooter stuff. She wanted to be taken more seriously, so she was wearing those kind of outfits.
Yeah, I mean, that could definitely be, and this is just us speculating reasons, but those are sort of my thoughts and guesses as to why it changed.
Yeah, I think you're right, where it's like she was going out of summer, and she knew that she needed to promote Miss Americana.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then it's like, I don't think the man warranted that. Like, it's not that good of a song.
Yeah.
To, like, change your whole album aesthetic.
Yet again, with the man, I think she thought that was going to be more of a moment than it was. And she also got ridiculed and criticized for that song.
Yup.
And for that video. And I remember there was heavy, heavy promotion for that video in particular. Yes. Like, she was constantly posting on Instagram about it. And I just don't think people were as impressed or as intrigued by it as she thought that they would be.
I guess we can skip to, well, hey, during the Lover era, she released Christmas Tree Farm in December.
Oh, yes, that's true. I forgot about that.
But we can skip to January when Miss Americana comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very important part of the era because it encapsulated everything that she wanted to express about her politics, and mm-hmm. she got to have more of a long form medium to talk about, like, her political stances and just her personal life, and kind of catch people up on where she was at the time and show the behind the scenes of Lover and all that. So it was really important to see that.
Yeah. And I sort of paid a little bit more attention at the time to the reaction to Miss Americana. I watched it the day it came out, but at night. So, like, during the day, I was kind of reading about it and reading what people were saying about it before I watched it. And I remember a lot of people basically said they were underwhelmed.
Yeah.
And that it was sort of boring. Like, there really weren't any revelations or bombshells. And that it was very, again, curated. It was like Taylor's only showing you as much as she wants to show you. It's very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's very
I mean, a lot of people believe that it was a propaganda piece to rehab her image.
Which it probably was. Like, I don't really know what people were expecting from a documentary that she was involved in. Like, it's her documentary. Of course, she's going to paint herself in a good light. Did they think she was going to, like, expose herself and look horrible? Shitty. Like, obviously, she's going to paint herself in a positive light.
Yeah, and that's, like, going back to what I said at the beginning of the episode, where the Lover era, I believe, one of the main goals of it was to, quote, rehab, even though she did nothing wrong in the Reputation era, but to kind of refocus her image to be this content, happy-go-lucky, like, stable relationship mm-hmm. kind of thing. And, like, yeah, I think that's what she definitely wanted to get across
yeah.
with her public perception.
And as far as Miss Americana goes, I did not have very high expectations going into it just because I was, like, reading all those things during the day. And I was like, okay, so there's not really going to be many revelations, which I really wasn't expecting anyway. So I kind of was like, all right, it's going to be just sort of not boring, but, you know, I didn't expect it to be anything too crazy. And I enjoyed watching it. I thought it was a decent documentary.
Yeah, it was nice because Taylor had been away for so long from the mm-hmm. public eye, so it was nice to actually hear about her life from her own words and see more of a long-form content about her.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't know. I feel like as time has gone on, people are appreciating it more.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, like, now with Folklore, I think people are respecting it a lot more. But
yeah, and I think the other thing with Miss Americana, which I think is probably what we'll get into next, is that it did come out very, very soon before COVID hit and the pandemic began. So there really wasn't that much time before that.
Yep.
And not that it was going to stay in the public's mind for longer than like a month anyway, but I do think that kind of played a role in why it didn't really feel like that big of a moment.
And also, just before I forget, I hate to keep going back, but just one thing to remember as well. In November of that year, we skipped over this, but she got the Artist of the Decade at the Billboard Awards, yes. And she did that incredible medley.
Oh, yes. I do remember
where that. She started with The Man. That's what made me think about it.
But. Oh, yeah. And she had the jacket or, like, the shirt.
Yes.
With all her album names, and then Fearless on iconic. The back, which probably now, knowing what we know, was her signal that Fearless would be next. But anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, in Miss Americana, we saw her talk about politics. We saw her recording Lover. And then we also saw her getting the call that Reputation did not get any Grammy nominations that were, like, in mm-hmm. the big categories. And she said, I'm just going to make a better album, which we assume is Lover. And that also did not get any major category nominations except for pop album, I believe. So that's just kind of another sign to us that is like Taylor had hopes for this album that were not met.
Yeah.
But anyway, and in the documentary, we see her collaborator on this album that a lot of people consider to be a detriment to the era, which is Joel Little.
Mm-hmm.
And he produced, I think, most of the singles. It was like, me, You Need to Calm Down, Miss Americana and the Heartbreak Prince, The Man, and...
Only the Young.
Only the Young and, like, a few other ones, but, yeah.
Man, talk about a song that made, like, absolutely no impact.
I know. Well, it was used for, like, the election
or something. Yeah, but still... Anyway, yeah, I know we've talked about how in the documentary it seems like Joel Little was kind of like a yes man. Like, basically whatever Taylor was telling him, he's like, oh, man, that sounds great. I love that.
Which is, like, I get where he's coming from because he's working with, like, the biggest star in the world, but
I don't know. I wonder if she'll be using him again, but...
Well, people speak very, like, I don't want to trash him. People speak very well of him. He did Lorde's album, which was very, very good and well acclaimed, but maybe just him and Taylor don't mesh.
Yeah, it might just be that they're not a good match, because I will say that his songs that he produced are some of my least favorite, but we'll see if she works.
He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's fine. It's just, I don't know if they really worked well together, but one of my favorite scenes, just as a side note, in Miss Americana is a scene where Taylor's working with Jack Antonoff on Getaway Car. Yeah. And I feel like that just kind of showed, like, what a different relationship they have. That's just a great scene, and you know what I'm talking about.
Okay, so Miss Americana comes out. And that was a big piece in Taylor wanting to kind of reshape her public image. Mm-hmm. Being more towards politics and just kind of being more about the art rather than her personal life. Okay, so now after Miss Americana is when The Man is sent to radio. Mm-hmm. And it was sent to radio on January 27th. And the official music video was released on February 27th, 2020. So literally like 2 or 3 weeks before the pandemic began.
Yes.
Yeah, The Man made no noise, unfortunately. And it peaked at number 23 on the Hot 100.
Ooh, yeah, so that's not great.
But, I mean, it's a late-stage single, so it's not going to do amazing.
Yeah, the music video was an interesting concept. I remember first watching it, and I'm not going to lie, at the end, I was very surprised to learn that it was Taylor. She fooled me. She did. I did not realize it was her. And I liked the music video. I thought it was pretty interesting. And it was cool that Taylor herself directed it. I know she was really proud of that.
That is an amazing feat that she directed it. And just to mention, this is the first album that she's ever owned herself. Mm-hmm. So that makes it very special. But I remember being very underwhelmed by the video because... A song like that isn't going to be, like, this aesthetically pleasing video, but you had these videos like Me and You Need to Calm Down and Lover that were so beautiful and so aesthetically pleasing and fit with the era so perfectly, and then you had The Man where I'm like, ooh, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in love with it, I'll just say that.
Yeah, and the other thing is, obviously, The Man, and especially the music video, got completely buried a couple weeks after by much bigger news. So even if it was an amazing video, which I'm not saying it wasn't amazing, but, you know, it was not that exciting, I guess we'll put it that way. Even if it was amazing, it would have gotten buried by other
news. There's nothing she could have done. Yeah,
and that was pretty much the end of the Lover era, right?
Sort of.
Well, there was City of Lover. I think that might have been the end of the Lover era.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. It's crazy. So I guess now we're going to go into, like, what could have been, like, what her plan was. It's insane to think about just how your plans can get so derailed and, like, you can plan all you want, but... something like this happens and it's for nothing. It's crazy.
She probably would have released Cruel Summer as a single and made a music video for it in the summer, last summer. And I know people last summer were still speculating that she might make it a single until they read the lyrics. And it just would not have gone over well if she had done that.
Yeah, so many people believe that Cruel Summer was meant to be a promo single for Loverfest, which I could totally see happening.
So I think that would have happened. She would have released that as a single, probably, maybe made a music video.
And but then still, I don't think it would have charted well.
No, I don't. I think it was, it really didn't affect the era too much because I think it was kind of wrapping up anyway. Because then she would have done Loverfest and then that would have probably been it. And then she would have moved on. So really, I think all that was lost with the Lover era was probably potentially a Cruel Summer single music video and then Loverfest. And then I think that probably would have been it.
Loverfest, though, would have really affected the era, though, because a lot of people did not like Reputation. And then once the Reputation Stadium Tour hit, like, everyone was obsessed.
Yeah.
So I feel like seeing Lover performed live would have really made the era different. And I think that's what it was missing.
I would love just to hear Taylor explain what her plan was for after Lover.
I know, that's so crazy.
I really, because I don't think Folklore was the original plan. I mean, it definitely could have been, but I don't think it was. I think she probably had something else in mind. And I would just be curious to hear her say, like, oh yeah, after Lover, I always intended on doing something like Folklore. But I don't even think that's true, because when she announced Folklore, she said she's, like, been constantly worrying about, like, timing of things and all that. I think it probably would have been something very different from Folklore, and I'm just curious if she even knew herself. Like, maybe she hadn't even thought that far ahead, which she definitely did, but...
Yeah, and that just kind of leads us to a lot of people in the media painting Lover as Taylor's, like, she was done, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so crazy to me because it performed so well.
Yeah.
But there are these articles, like, I'll just read two examples. BuzzFeed had an article called Katy Perry and Taylor Swift Flops Are Bad News for Big Pop. And then the BBC had an article called Taylor Swift's Lover, The Struggle to Maintain Superstardom.
Yeah, I just think those kinds of headlines are crazy because maybe this wasn't Taylor's best era, but who would expect it to be? I think we all kind of knew that she, I don't even want to say peaked, but 1989 was her biggest era, and I think it was kind of expected that she would probably not reach those levels again.
Yeah.
It's just the way it goes. You know, it's very hard for someone
so
to...
It goes.
Yeah. It's hard for someone to stay at the very, very top, which is crazy because even now with Folklore, she's still breaking records. She's still at the top of her game. So for them to say that about Lover was just crazy. But I don't, like, to maintain her level of relevancy, to maintain her level of success for as long as she has is, yeah, it's, like, crazy. So not every single era she's going to do is going to be gigantic, enormous, whatever. But still, I think Lover was a pretty well-performing era, and maybe it wasn't at the level of superstardom or whatever they said, but I think that was just to be expected.
Yes, and along with people saying that she was losing her relevancy and her superstardom, many critics thought that she, just the whole era in general was, quote, childish and immature.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, like, want to take a listen to the album. Like, there are so many mature songs on there. Like, yeah. Cornelia Street, False God, Soon You'll Get Better.
Soon You'll Get Better.
Like, most of the songs, so.
Yeah, it's just annoying, but we've heard all this before, so it's nothing new.
And it's like, oh, God forbid she's 30 and putting out a fun album. Oh my gosh, she needs to do something indie. Like, I can't.
I'm sure Taylor feels very vindicated, though, because of course she read all of those articles that were saying, oh, Taylor's on the decline, her career will never be what it once was. And you get the sense that these people who were writing this were giddy.
Yeah, they were happy.
That they were like, oh, she's on the decline, finally. Like, she's not going to be relevant anymore. Yes, yes. But then Folklore happened, so Taylor must feel very vindicated that she's once again at the top of her game.
Back and better than ever, yeah.
And she never really
stronger than a 90s.
Yeah. She never really ever was failing. Like, if they considered Lover a fail, that's I'd like to see what they
Yeah. So they were painting her and Katy Perry similarly, which is unfair. Like, Katy Perry is very successful. She has had an amazing career, but there's definitely more of a decline there than with Taylor. And for them to paint them as, like, the same is not accurate. Do we have any last thoughts?
I think for me, probably what the biggest issue, if there was one, with the Lover era is just the idea that it was a little bit all over the place. And maybe not as consistent as some of her other eras. Like, even Reputation, it was different because there wasn't so much promotion and she was very quiet about it. But you got the sense that there was very consistent messaging, I guess, for lack of a better word. It was very, like, the aesthetics were all very similar, very dark colors. The outfits were all the same. 1989, of course, was very consistent as well. And you kind of could tell what her idea for the era, for each era was, like, where she was going with it. And I feel like with Lover, maybe it was that idea maybe wasn't so
concrete.
Yeah, like, I don't really know what she was going for with it.
It was about all types of love. That's what she kept saying.
Yeah, I get that, but just in terms of, like, it's shallow, but in terms of the aesthetics even, like, it wasn't consistent, and it was a little bit all over the place, but that's okay. The album was a little bit all over the place,
too. Yeah, I was about to say the track list is really all over the place. It's crazy.
I guess maybe that's why, because the album itself and the songs are all sort of all over the place. That she didn't really have, like, a consistent theme she could run with.
Yeah. That's another thing. The track list is crazy.
It is. It's very all over the place. But you know what? That's fine. It's still a good album.
To have Soon You'll Get Better, False God, You Need to Calm Down. Or even, like, London Boy, Soon You'll Get Better is crazy to me.
Yeah, I don't know what she was thinking with that track list, but...
But, you know, it's her vision, so...
It's fine. It worked.
Yeah. I pretty much have the same criticisms as you. I think it was kind of how it was all over the place. It got derailed a lot of times, especially with me. I think the kickoff is what kind of soured everything because it was... She was planning on it being this huge moment, and it wasn't at all...
Yeah.
And she didn't get the number one because of Old Town Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was planning on getting the number one.
She didn't get the Grammy nomination. She didn't get...
A tour.
Yeah, a tour. She didn't get a lot of stuff, but...
And there was the master stuff going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. It's overall, like, I mean, it was still, like you said, by any metric, it was still very successful. And I don't think, well, now we know it didn't signal a decline because Taylor's, like, doing better than she ever was. So I don't think it was a signal of a decline. I think it just happened to be the circumstances, like you were saying, did not work in her favor. And I just don't think her plans worked out the way that she wanted them to. But overall, it still was pretty good.
Yeah, it is my favorite era, which is weird, but it is. I just like a lot about it in terms of just like how much Taylor was promoting and the mural of it all and the music videos and the even just like her just showing more of herself.
Yeah.
Without having to go into like her personal life or anything, but just being around more and doing more promotional concerts and promotional appearances and interviews, it was nice to see after, especially after Reputation, mm-hmm. where she was nowhere to be found.
Yeah, and maybe the final thought can just be that it was also, I think, probably the era where she seemed the happiest. She seemed very content with her life, and she seemed very, very proud of the work she was doing. So because of that, I'm kind of in agreement with you that I think Lover is my favorite era, just for those reasons, because she seemed, and she still seems, very happy, content, and proud of the work she's doing.
Yeah, and of course we don't know if she actually is happy, or if it's like kind of to put on that marketing of being like the era was kind of happy, but you know,
she sold it well. She seemed to be. Obviously, we do not know, but that was my perception.
I just have one last final note, and that is that I overlooked this, but right when the pandemic began, it might have been the first weekend of the pandemic, the full audio of the Kanye call was released.
Oh, yeah.
And because, you know, it was a very, very serious situation, people were kind of, nobody really saw it at the time. It was, mm-hmm. it was kind of overlooked, which is very understandable, but yeah. That also happened during the Lover era, where she was kind of vindicated because the whole call was released.
And the fact that I forgot that even happened, I think, says it all, but that did happen.
So, yes, that's the Lover era.
Yes, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us a review, that would be greatly appreciated so that more people can find our podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at @OurAmericanQueenPod. Instagram at @OurAmericanQueenPod. And yeah, we hope you have a good day, a good week. Whenever you're listening to this, bye.